Victoria, Still Mace Warrior here with podcast number 8 with Jim Romig and Matt Burberry. So this is like my second duo. I'm pretty sure it's my second. And I'm just always really excited of, having two podcast guests in one. So it was a blast to have these two dudes at the same time. They are funny as heck. Just having them both together was a really awesome experience. And obviously, it reminded me that we have such an awesome Mace community, and a really tight one where we support each other. Because we talked about that a little bit on the podcast, and it was really an honor to have these two guys. I was really excited over Jim and really excited for having Matt come back on, because Matt was originally the first guy I ever asked to join me on a podcast. And so if you want to see me super nervous and you want to see Matt super nervous, you can check us out in season 1, episode 1. So please go check Matt's actual episode out, because that one is, more in depth about his story and his journey with the Mace. And obviously in this new one, we have Jim, and, I had no idea of Jim's past until we started talking in this episode. And I actually started to research more about him, because obviously I spy on like every podcast guest before I actually have them on, so I can ask them the right questions and stuff like that, which actually leads me to, tell you guys through here, like, if you guys have any questions whatsoever that you'd want to ask the guests, whenever I announce them, please feel free to send me the questions through Instagram, through Facebook, through email, whatever method that you want to reach out to me. I'm totally approachable, and I'm more than willing to ask the guests any questions that you might have, right, guys? So anyways, yeah, so Jim Romig has a really great history. He, I'll just kind of like summarize it a little bit, but not give everything away. He calls himself pretty much a movement artist, which is really cool, interesting title to give yourself. You know, at first I thought he meant like an actual artist, but as we were talking, he said, no, I'm a movement artist. So, and you will understand if you go check him out on Instagram or on his YouTube or his Facebook, you will understand what he means by that. This guy moves so fluidly, if I can describe it, and is the most humble guy I've had on the podcast by far. So it was really awesome again to have him on. He has a very special character, very special like thing to him. So anyways, Jim's background is really awesome. I think he started with the Wolf Systems, and he started with Wolf. And if you go check his Facebook out, you'll actually find a really interesting photo of him with John Wolf and Eric Zeke Milan and all of these really big names in the fitness industry, obviously because of On It. But so it was really interesting to get to know him and his story and kind of what led him to kind of use the Mace, because that's not the only thing he does. He does a bunch of stuff, which you'll get to see in this podcast episode. And again, we recapped with Matt, and he has a lot of awesome events coming up. So if you're in the New York area, you'd want to check them out. He's going to spill the beans in this podcast episode. And I'll make sure that if you are on the YouTube, on the blog post, or even on my Instagram, I'll make sure to promote those events so that you know about them as a listener. So if you are in those areas, you get to meet these people in person, because they're awesome coaches, trainers that you'd want to learn from. And not only that, that you'd want to like feel the community in person. So anyways, guys, thank you for being on here. And don't forget to support the podcast, but buy yourself a t-shirt over at stillmacewarrior.com/store. There's also a link below. If wherever you're listening to this, there will be a link. And a special thank you and shout out to 8X Clubs and Maces, the only adjustable mace in the market. It's freaking awesome. I own a pair, and Don, awesome dude. I love your adjustable mace. It's changed my strength training completely. So anyways, make sure you go check them out. Link below as well, 8xclubs.com. You can go check out the adjustable mace. And again, guys, thank you. May the universe always flow with you. Enjoy this podcast episode. And don't forget to message me if you have any questions for the upcoming guest. Right on, guys. Here we are again. Still Mesa Warrior, another podcast. And I keep forgetting what episode I'm on because I just have so many and so many awesome guests. Today I have Jim Romig. Did I say that right? Yeah. You woo! Okay, yeah, I got heartbeats right too. In the last episode, I'm like, I'm not even gonna ask him. I'm gonna get this one. I was like, is it heartbeats? He was like, yeah. So I got that right. That's anyways, awesome. And then we have Matt Burberry from That Strength again. I wanted to recap with you for a while, actually. I've been thinking about it. So it was a perfect opportunity to get both of you on here at the same time. Like, this is dope. This is awesome.
Us too. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. No, and thank you for saying yes. I always tell everyone that I'm like, I'm always like really grateful to have you guys on. All right. So let's talk about you, Jim. Let's start with you. Let's talk about like where you started on your journey. Cause I mean, I look at you now and your movements are like on point every single time. I'm pretty sure Matt will agree with that. Like, it's crazy just how good your movement is, but I want to know kind of like where you started. Right. And then kind of like what led you to the mace? Cause obviously this is about mace.
Yeah. Funny as it is, I started professional wrestling. In pro wrestling, and then that got me into MMA, and then that got me into getting certified by NASM. And then from NASM, I just kind of kept coaching and kept teaching and getting into new implements and doing things. And when I was co-owner of Wolf Fitness Systems back in Salinas, we had Rick Brown come out, and he did a mace stuff, and he left us a giant mace to play with. And it was that was our first real experience with mace. We'd swung clubs and done everything else for years before that, but that was our first mace experience. And after we did that, we were all hooked. That was like all of us, really. That was all of our first mace experience there from Wolf. And he brought it to us and we had an awesome time.
That's really cool because I've seen pictures of that. I've seen pictures of that event that went down with Wolf, right? And that was how long ago was that? Like, what year was that?
Shoot. It was at least 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
At least 5. So I know that we had just gotten back like the night before from Mexico and I was still hungover.
By the way, that's awesome. No, I mean, because I look at like the history of like where mace has been, like where it's kind of started, like all these events prior, and I find it kind of weird that it's just been 5 years,
right?
It's crazy, because it's spread, I feel like it's developed, right? It's like, I feel like it went from like Rick to kind of where we are with Eric and then with Leo, like their styles. I'm like, I'm blown away just how quickly this all happened.
First thing too, it's a credit to Rick and how much he got out there and sent that message and put his love and time into it. That dude was just genuinely a great guy. And he really like genuinely wants people to share the joys and the love he feels during swinging mace. And right. You can just tell from being there, like, and being around him and everything. I was like, dude, this guy gets it, and this guy loves it, like, yeah. And it's with that infectious attitude, how's it not been spread?
Yeah,
you know, that's a big credit to that awesome guy.
Right on. Yeah, I met Rick last year, and he was exactly like how I pictured him, you know, like the way we used to talk on Instagram and over the phone, and when I met him, that he was exactly Mr. Maceman. Same guy, same dude. Cool.
I could never imagine how thick his hands actually are, though. When you shake his hands, you're like, oh, he's going to break me.
And he's fucking tall. He's so fucking tall. And he was trying to make me swing those evil monkey. I'm like, no, Mr. Maceman, this ain't going to happen. I'm a short-ass Mexican. I was like, no. No, it was a cool experience, though. But going back to your story, you mentioned MMA and wrestling. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, let's go a little more into that. Like, on obviously like how that helped with, obviously how mace helps with that.
Yeah. That's what got me into coaching and getting to the mace and stuff eventually. And so like, it kind of almost switched places for wrestling. The pro wrestling took me to fighting took me to training and coaching. And then it just kind of, they were together for a long time. And that's how I look at movement anyways. So like, that's how I'm geared towards it, is looking at it in a martial arts perspective. So like that, right. When I'm swinging mace, I'm doing this, that's how I'm thinking about it, you know? And so there's just so many unbelievable benefits from being offloaded, from working anti-extension, from being able to add lots of twists in different dimensions and different ranges of motion. Like, it's just endless, limitless. And that's not even just getting on the ground and doing groundwork. That's still standing, you know?
Right. When you start adding ground,
there's infinitely more things. The second you take your hands away when you're doing ground-based things and you're loading them up with an unloaded or uneven thing or a tall like handle with a weight displaced way at the end. That makes your upper body and your hips work so much harder. That's crazy. Right. And that has barely been delved into, you know?
Yeah, I think someone should get into that. I feel like Matt wants to say something. You were like, yeah, well, man.
We actually spent a lot of the time on the ground over the last few days, and it's revealing. So yeah, I thought I was a little bit more connected to myself than I really am. So
he's way more connected, give him a little credit for.
I think that's how we all feel about our own bodies and our movements, right? We're like, oh, I'm going to suck at this. And then we get at it. And then turns out okay.
Yeah, but think about how cool that is. We'll never move perfectly, but we have our whole lives to get a little bit better. So right. If we think about it, we don't have excuses to get bored. There's always right. something else we can do, always something else we can learn, always something else we can, I don't know, get the courage to try that we hadn't before, you know, or yeah. find ways to approach it. We should never get bored.
Right. And I think you're the perfect person to talk about this because you get super creative with your movements. I mean, I've seen your videos. I've been kind of addicted to them these past couple of months. I'm like watching you. I'm like, I got to try that. And then I try it. And it's fucking difficult though. Some of the stuff you do, I'm not going to lie. I did this one where you were like going back and reaching out towards the wall. And then you kind of like, I don't know. I tried it and I was like, oh my God.
He makes it between your knees?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he makes it look a lot simpler. I was like, I'm not posting this shit. Nope. I look terrible. I was just going to post it inspired by Jim. Yeah. Right. You made it look so much easier. I'm not going to lie. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm trying to look through. So what do you think, in your opinion, what are the strengths and the weaknesses for Mace? Mace training. Yeah. So what are some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses that you see with Mace training?
There's always strengths and weaknesses, a lot of things, but one of the strengths that we're talking about that we're kind of getting into the whole being on the ground and keeping your upper body loaded. So that shadow grappling thing I saw yesterday, that's what it is. A lot of shadow grappling is being on the ground, and you can spot yourself with your hands and upper body, but as time goes on, you use that less and less. And when you finally get to the point you can hold a mace and start playing around with it, like you're going to load your hips and your spine and everything in so many crazy ways you wouldn't have if you kept your hands down, because your body knows how to make it easy. It's meant to. That's how we evolved and grown this whole time. We make shit easier. But when you mindfully make things harder, we get to get these benefits that we normally manage to skip over just because we can't, you know? Right. But having your upper body loaded with a mace as you're trying to traverse the floor, it keeps you humble and keeps you honest and it keeps you true to what's going on. So if nothing else, one of the best things about it is it helps keep you honest.
Right. Now let's talk a little bit about that workshop. Was it like a long workshop that you had at that strength, or was it just one day?
Yeah, 5.5 hours in one day.
Oh, okay. Then you guys were just having your fun. Like 5 days.
Yeah, we've just been chilling. This has been a great time for us. Like this, that's what it's about, is connecting and being a part of each other's lives. And I've never felt more at home when I've gone somewhere before. And this is so cool. And like the more I've hung out with him in real life, the more I'm like, dude, this guy is so much more like me than I ever realized. And it conveys on, like, dude, this dude is fucking hilarious. Oh, we want to say that. I'm sorry. He's awesome though. I love this guy.
Now, was so, this like, this is obviously not the first time you do something there, or is it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you guys are like hilarious. Best friends right now. You guys are like bros. I love this. Okay.
His community, just everyone here makes you feel like you belong. It's just so, he surrounds himself with the best people, man. Like, this is what it's about. This is mad inspiring.
That's all awesome. Yeah, I still got to go visit you, Matt.
Yes, you do. Oh, girl,
I do. And I know I'm going to feel the same way. So, Jim, this question is for you. What inspires you? I did read, I'm a spy, so before I get guests, I spy on everyone. You wrote somewhere that you're an artist.
Movement artist.
Okay, so cool. So what inspires you to like move?
There are lots of different things. One is just I want to have the best life possible. But two is like I want to keep the wheels of inspiration going. So you said you watch some of my stuff. I like watching yours and his. I like watching lots of people's things. And I want to do my turn to do my fair share of putting something out that helps inspire other people, because I get nonstop inspiration from everybody I see online. All the people I'm lucky enough to have on my feed. and all this kind of like, and that's a huge part of my inspiration, is just trying to do my part to know that we're trying to help make people a little better, and not just us, but people down the road, make the world a little better, people we never met yet that might not be alive yet.
Right. So
that's really, honestly, the hippie ass thing of just making the world a better place. That's why. But just I went around the block to get next door right there.
Right on. So back to the whole, what is it called? Shadow grap? Is that what, shadow grappling? Yeah. Let's talk about that, because I've never heard of that, and I'm not really like super into MMA still, but kind of like explain that to listeners. So if someone's listening, explain what that is. And
the easiest put, you know how strikers have shadow boxing, they do their footwork and they throw strikes. This is pretty much you're grappling at first by yourself. It's like shadow grappling. You're wrestling with yourself, whether you're from standing, getting taken down, you learn how to engage the floor safely, you learn how to get up without using your hands, and then you learn how to traverse the floor and move on the floor more and more by not using your hands, because your hands are busy when you're grappling, when you're throwing up, when you're throwing up arm bars, when you're defending, you're mounted, all that stuff. Your shit's busy. Your stuff's busy, so you can't sit there and do that, you know? Like, so it's pretty much just the shadow. It's silly as it sounds. It's kind of just like that. It's a grappling version of shadow boxing.
Got it. Okay. I got it. The spring got it. Okay. So I saw you doing some like neck rolls. Is that what they're called? Neck rolls?
I call them not neck rolls, because you're not using your neck. Okay. You're actually using your shoulder rolls and your spinal articulation elsewhere. And you are using your neck, but you're using that to avoid it. So you have your chin tucked and your head to the side. You're not looking back. You're rolling it. You're creating space to roll around your shoulders. So your neck is moving, but it's not being loaded. So when people call it neck rolls, it's almost a deceptive moniker, and almost a dangerously deceptive moniker, because people think, I got to use my neck to get around. Ah, dog, don't use your neck to get around. Use your neck to avoid and create space.
I'm glad that you explained that, because I was looking at it, I'm like, are they fucking using their necks? I'm like, I'm going to snap my neck. So that's cool. That's cool. And I recommend you go see Jim at one of his workshops before you even try this shit. But I saw the video, and I was like blown away. I was like, oh man, that's the kind of stuff they were doing all week. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, too, that helps you learn how to safely stack yourself. Sometimes you get stacked when you're grappling. Someone's going to pack you up onto your shoulders. They're going to rest down onto your hips. They're going to put a lot of weight on your neck and your spine. So we have to learn how to get comfortable on our shoulders, stay off of our neck, and learn how to maneuver our neck to keep it safe while you have a 200-pound guy on top of you. You know, right. Those kind of things. So as long as you can learn this stuff on your own, unloaded without someone pressuring you and stressing you, you have a lot better chance of actually going through it safely when someone is on. You know, so that's why it's kind of a progression. You start unloaded. You start by using your hands on the ground by yourself. And little by little, you add a mace. You add something. So now your upper body's loaded. Now it's more of a challenge to traverse this stuff. But you develop those awarenesses. You develop familiarity with the position of these movements. So once the person, it's a whole lot easier.
Can anyone do this class?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Well, how would it benefit me? Like, obviously, besides the mace, like, obviously, that would make me like, what would that do for me? Learning grappling.
Awareness, connection, just awareness of your movement and your connection to the ground. Because awareness of what's happening in your body, what's moving, what's stable, and how that translates into also weight distribution. Are you actively pressing into the earth? Or are you just resting on it? Are you actually squeezing the ground beneath your foundation or your structure? Or are you just kind of standing there and slowly letting it slide apart? Because you'll know that when someone is beneath you and you're trying to squeeze in to look so you know where they're at and they don't have room to move. But if someone's beneath you and you're a relaxed foundation, they have plenty of room to move around. So just developing awareness of what your movement does and how just that little more engagement can do that much more. And am I really turning on? What am I turning when I'm turning on? Am I trying to activate what I'm trying to activate? Am I approximating my movement or am I articulating my movement? That's a big part. You want to articulate, you want to approximate. If you articulate, you're probably not going to hurt very often. You approximate and you throw shit up to see what sticks, there's a good chance someone's getting hurt eventually.
Right. You know? Okay.
So that's a lot of,
that's a really good explanation, because I was wondering. And now I think a lot of people when they see stuff like that, they're like, well, I guess our culture is just so used to working out. You know, that I'm assuming it's a certain market, right? Because like, I don't know. I just feel like people have a hard time, like how you're trying to, you know, you're trying to teach good movement, right? And I think people don't really think about that in our culture. And it's really, it's kind of sucks because they're just thinking about like, let's go hard. Let's go to CrossFit class, you know, like, so it kind of sucks in a way. But like, did you guys get some people that just went in there maybe not members for the staff?
Everyone, because I kind of set the pace before and set the tone, and I talked about it. And a part of it was like, I think people talk about mind-body connection, but realistically, isn't your mind a part of your body and a body a part of your mind? We're registering information around us. We're pressing to the ground. We're holding certain things. That's all information that we're processing. Our body is processing it into our mind. Where does that shit end and where does it begin? Honestly, why don't we just think about this the whole time? And what we feel as we go along, isn't that thinking for our body? Because we know what's turning on. We know what's going on at that spot or what's that's firing off. That's thinking for our body. Yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to break the walls down. It's not a mind, but mind and body, same thing. It's just two sides of the same coin.
Right.
You know, and so if we can apply our movement that way, who knows what's possible? Because like it's amazing that with this mindful movement kind of thing, they're just laying down the neural pathways to make this happen. Just like in your head, you have all these connections that are firing off. It's throughout your body too. And it's response to movement, it responds to load, it responds to consistency. Because if you do it a couple times, you have the potentiation of it. You do it a lot and you make it a habit, it's there. It's a
right.
Lot. You know, so
right.
It should be like I set that tone in the beginning. And yeah, so it's not about getting a whole lot more stuff done because we're going to find all these different positions and movements that we're not familiar with. We want to think. We want to feel. Because thinking is feeling to a degree. You know?
Right. Okay.
Or at least they're very impactful on each other.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because, this last podcast that I had with Heartbeats, he had mentioned that he doesn't like to think. He just likes to just get into the groove and stuff like that.
That has time and place.
Right?
Absolutely has time and place. But I think that you're able to... You're safer when you're not thinking and you're just on autopilot and you're in the zone. You're safer when you take the time to think before. Take the time to carve out those pathways, familiarity with whatever it is you're doing, you're a lot safer when you actually do take that time. Because the old saying, you don't want to run before you can crawl. You know, or whatever, like, run before you walk. You need to be able to do it slow before you can do it fast in a lot of regards. There's always an exception.
But for
the majority of the things, we're going to be a lot safer being familiar with something before we try to do it blindfolded.
I'm pretty sure that's what he meant, kind of think of it. I have to re-listen. I was listening, but I was like, how do you not think? I cannot not think when I'm
think about
using
it, though,
a mouse. Like,
what it is that at that point, when he's saying not thinking, you're allowing all this programming you did already through that mindfulness to take place. So right. I think that might be more what he's getting at, is that all the hard work he put in before, when the time comes where I'm on, that's what it is. That time put in gave you those neural pathways, gave you those abilities. Because so when you are an autopilot, you're pretty safe because your body knows what's up. You know?
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now, Matt, you've been sitting there for a little bit. I'm going to ask you some questions now.
It's all good.
Let's recap, dude. What have you been up to? Like, you've been doing a lot of stuff. I just saw video footage last week. You did a Viking Ninja workshop, right? And stuff like that?
We went to Solace, New York. Which that place is, they got it going out in there. It's beautiful. Upstairs is like all brand new, everything. And then they have a lower level where they do like the CrossFit and let us do the mindful mechanics. And it was a good time. Again, I feel like every time I've learned something from somebody else about anything, I learned something new, let alone the steel mace. So. It was, again, like always, once you think you're good at something, you find out, I'm not that good at it. I know I'll never be perfect, but it's like, it's just something to strive for.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you it makes you more aware of your body. So you know I can't get my shoulder down and back. I really got to focus, you know what I mean? So it was just, it's like you said, it turns on different neurological pathways. And it actually makes me a lot more hungry. I've been doing a lot of structural strength, and I'm going to be doing a lot of shadow grappling. It was a lot of fun, and it makes you really aware of, again, what's being turned on and what's being turned off, because it's you have to think, and you have to stabilize, and you have to listen to where you're responding. It's really dope, actually. So it's just different, right. You know what I mean? Whereas before, I spend some time, you know what I mean, drilling. And then I would do some, you know, flow for reward. And I really don't even do much flow anymore, like ever. So.
Yeah. So that's what you mean when you, obviously the word structural strength, you mentioned that. That's kind of what you guys are talking about now, right? That's kind of like the definition. You're making those points.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, it's just, it's can you, you know, can you maintain your structure, your posture, or whatever that movement pattern is calling for? Whether it's take the weight away for a little while, see if you really own that movement pattern. I might surprise you. It's kind of what I've learned a lot of recently. It's really find out what's going on in here, and then overload it. Because then once you've adapted and your tissues are ready, it's a better workout, and it actually you appreciate it more.
Right. So kind of it's more like doing body weight first, and then you kind of slowly load until you kind of get the structure down. Is that kind of?
Well, and again, this is just me personally. I like to spend some time activating and just moving and setting. Like, if I'm gonna do a hinge or a push or a pull, I'm gonna prep and activate the groups that I'm gonna use. Right. And then I'll use those specific groups, and then at the end of my session, I try to recover and do some structural base stacking. Kind of, you know what I mean? Again, that's eye flows, and it's going to be a lot of this shadow grappling, because again, it's just little things, little nuances that are just like, oh shit, if I would just, you just got to really pay attention. So it, like you said, it just turns on, it makes you think, it's just different.
Cause you're that's like, awesome.
You're like shaking and you're like, I'm not even doing anything yet. It's just crazy.
That's so cool.
I mean, so yes.
I wonder, Jim, are you ever going to have something online? Just because, like, it sounds so cool. Because I know iFlows, obviously, that's Coach Pagre.
Yep.
Now, do you ever plan on having anything like that? Or is it just...
I have a YouTube channel that I put stuff out on. But, okay. Like, I'm not big on putting together a system. And you got to follow this. You got to do this. Here's a lot of things to think about as you go do your thing. I'll put some stuff out. If you want to learn anything specifically, I'll put a video out. Give you some cues for it. I don't ever want to tell people, this is the way you got to think. This is the way you got to do it. I want people to structure that shit themselves. That's up to them. That's their life. That's going to fit their lives accordingly. And if they can move well, and if they can be honest and listen to their bodies, they'll design it just fine. That's up to me to design the program for them. It's up to them to know their bodies and decide to listen to their bodies and know what they want, what they need.
That's interesting, because that's the kind of vibes I got off of you. I had to ask, because I really do. I feel like you're just like so humble. Is that the vibe? Anyone else? Has anyone ever told you that before?
Yeah, I have a hard time talking about myself too. So it's kind of, I'm like sweating over here and shit. But I'm always sweating. I guess it's not a good excuse.
That's normal. I had like my first podcast here locally, and I was fucking sweating. And I kept like my best friend was there, and she's like, here's a napkin. And then like, you'll see me throughout the podcast. Like, fuck, it's fucking hot in here.
I'm so bad for the seat that I'm sitting on.
Swamp ass.
Oh, for days, dog. I think I have a trail of cats behind me right now.
Oh, shit. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so back to you, Matt. So what can we expect at that strength? Because, I mean, I've seen, a lot of shit going on over there. Do you have any upcoming events?
Yeah, I have.
What else do you have?
So in July, I believe it's 12th, 13th, and 14th, I'm having Paul Gray come for kind of like a pick your poison certification, where he does a couple of different certifications, and it's really hard to get him over here.
Yeah.
And at this pace, you could be like, hey, here's your topics to choose from, whether it's the kettlebell or body weight or whatever you decide if you want to choose, the rings of doom, just something to implement. I'm going to do structural strength. You kind of get to choose from it. And again, I'm like, Jim, he's going to be spending a couple of days with me. So the Friday before that Saturday, we're going to do a keto workshop, because he's a martial art teacher. So, and he is going to be doing unloaded and loaded. So we're going to do swords and knives. You get to pick from that, or just unloaded. So he's probably going to teach like the first 2 hours unloaded, and then we'll get to choose the last.
Wow.
So that coming up. Yeah, I'm getting ready to do a blueprint change. Some things are going to be looking different in here. So hopefully some big things, but I want to have Jim back again and some other friends, as many people as possible, actually.
Right on.
Out here is a cool-ass spot. All of our homies listen to this. This is a great spot.
I
love the people around here.
Yeah.
The gym's overwhelming. There's so many cool people and toys you don't know what to do here.
Well, they nice. In every corner.
Yeah. Now the pick your poison thing. Which ones are they? I think there's like three or four of them.
It's a complete kettlebell, eye flows, structural strength, and.
The martial arts one, right?
Which one?
The martial arts one?
No, that's right. Okay.
What happened? Oh, okay, never mind. I was thinking of the martial arts one.
I flow, structural strength, complete kettlebell. I don't know if it's mace magic or if it's complete clubbell. It's one of those. Might be clubs.
Okay.
Let me double check.
Okay.
I know this.
Okay.
him and I have been talking, and it was basically like, look, we're going to let these people choose the best three. And realistically, majority of people want to do structural strength kettlebells.
Right.
And so it's probably going to be that. Plus, it's built on a structure, again, because everything is about structure, that if you can implement one thing and some of these other, like with the other tools, it'll make your self-awareness better.
Right. Kind of
like a lot like the shadow grappling. It just it teaches you really where you really are with set pattern, loaded and unloaded, if you know how to listen to what your body is telling you.
Right on. Now, what date is this?
I want to say July 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. I was going to try to make it out, but I'm actually going to Viking Ninja in July. It's July.
White belt certification?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I kind of wanted to go into that. Like, how was that in your opinion?
It was very knowledgeable. He has some really good coaching cues with the 360. I have issues with the 360. I don't teach them anymore, really, unless they're ready for them, because I know more about it.
Right.
So he like taught me some good cues to get their wrist dexterity ready. And then a good cue for the back. Like, I'm not going to throw out all of his material, but
right.
He had some just really good coaching cues. I really like the body weight system. I thought that was a lot of fun. Plus I've been really getting into combat. So everything that's structured to make your combat better is cool to me. So it was just like, I never looked at certain things like the shoulder screws. These are, like you said, it's for a purpose. It's not just, you know what I mean? It's not just to activate or loosen. That's actually because you're going to be doing that as you tuck and roll or as you're rolling back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, you just, right, or getting out of a submission. It's just, it's learning how to think differently. So I like that aspect. I like the cerebral training.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm listening to you right now compared to the first podcast I had with you. By the way, if you're listening, Matt was my very first podcast episode, and I think we were both going back to the sweating thing. I think we were both sweating ass that day, dude. I was like, I'm so nervous right now. This is like the first one ever. I've never done this before. If you guys want to see me and Matt like sweating our asses off, and you can listen to his whole story, you might want to go back to the first episode. But I feel like I don't know, like Matt. You're my bro, dude. Like, you've been so supportive, and I appreciate it. That's why, like, that's another reason.
Oh, absolutely. I think what you do is really important, and I like that you put everybody out there, and you're not biased towards anything, and you really genuinely care about connecting people. It's cool. It's rare.
You. Promoting others in the punk rock way.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk rock. I like that.
That's how I've always looked at it. Is like, every time you go to a punk show, say you go see NoFX, and they have all the bands before them. What is the first thing NoFX does when they come out? They say, hey, all of you guys that just showed up, you should have seen every other band before us. They're so fucking good. Well, they talk about those other bands because they knew a lot of people skipped them. But that's what are the stickers on their guitars? It's other bands. What are the shirts they're wearing? Other bands. So that's so cool. I've always wanted that. And when I find people that are like that, it's so cool.
Yeah.
You guys are exactly that. You know, you tell other people how cool your friends are. You don't go around talking how cool you are.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be bad. I don't want
to
be that way.
Speaking of that too, if you have a chance to see Paul at some point, you totally should. Yeah, the dude's great. I brought him out to my house a couple of times. And we went and did workshops together and stuff. The dude is smart as hell.
I was going to ask that. I was like, have you met him before? I mean, I feel like...
I'm going to bring him out to America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Out to America. He stayed at my house. I cooked for him. We did all that shit and hung out and did everything. He's cool, man.
Yeah.
And he's smart. Like, you ever get a chance to put that dude, I totally suggest it. Like,
yeah. I get that vibe off of him for sure. Like, super smart dude. I'm like, I'm kind of scared to be around him. I'm like, oh, he's gonna find me.
He's people like us.
It's just like this. Cool. It's just like this, man. It's just a bunch of dorks hanging out. That's all it is.
Yeah. And by the way, I had him on the podcast too. So if you guys want to go listen to that podcast episode, all the listeners out there, that's out too.
Oh yeah. I suggest that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to three that, Matt? So, me too. Me three. Yeah. Okay.
Three it up.
Right on. But going back to that first episode, Matt, I feel like you've changed a lot over the year. Like your way of thinking, seriously, because I mean, when I first met you, you were like Flo, and you know, showing me all this awesome shit. Actually, by the way, you're very inspirational. But you've changed, right? Like, I mean, the way of thinking. Like, I feel like maybe you've learned a lot over the year from plenty of people.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's like anything. When you're new to something, I don't feel like I'm the same person Thursday that I was today. That I, you know, I feel like I'm always growing and learning. But yeah, you know, and again, nothing wrong with flow or any of that. I just I like to train a little bit more purposeful now. So a little bit more, okay, well, this is what I need, or this is what that said individual needs, rather than can we do this to. It's fun, you know what I mean? But I want to give them, it's a teaching tool. I want them to know, oh, shit, okay, this is the purpose. This is the reason why we're trying to bend it or break it or pull it apart or twist it or whatever it is that we're trying to do. I want them to get the benefit out of the implement rather than just kind of getting lost in it. And again, it's the drilling and all the hard work that goes into prepping yourself for the flow. And again, I just I feel like I kind of, you know, just don't do it. That's all.
Right.
I don't really do a lot of things for myself. Like, I have a whole gym full of equipment I really don't even use.
Right. Right. It just
has to play with. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of. I think it was Coach Paul Gray who mentioned that, like, he doesn't do certain things because, like, he just can't. Like, it might hurt him, right? It depends on the person, and everyone's different.
Right. So. I wanted to get better, and I was sacrificing a lot of myself to do the flashy stuff, and I needed to regress, especially because of my shoulder, and it's just, there was just things that I thought I was correcting when probably realistically I was just doing more damage than I thought it would have been good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you do need the shoulder rotation, but can you keep said rotation without breaking your structure, hyperextending your back, or, you know what I mean, being really caved in, you know what I mean, rather than hyperextend. It's just, I've learned different, that's all.
Yeah.
But everybody swings mace differently, and again, different swing, different implement for different purpose. So
right.
This is why am I doing my swing this way or this way? Well, okay, are we doing it with the hips? Are we doing it with the shoulder? You know, what are we after? So I think that's the biggest difference. And I also think I've learned a little bit more that it's not really about me, it's about my people. And before, I was kind of a little bit more about myself.
Mm.
So I just kind of was like, hey, I need to figure this stuff out. And
yeah.
Sometimes the progression is a regression. So I needed to regress in order to get better. So if I ever wanted to be flow again, then I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for people, huh, to regress. I feel like, because we're in, it's the culture thing where we just want to go heavy, heavy, heavy all the time or do something that's obviously going to hurt us. So, I mean, that's pretty dope when someone can say, I regressed. That's okay. It's okay.
Right. Well, yeah, I just, for my own purpose, I needed to.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel like I perform better now that I do things for a purpose. I feel like even when I want to train, because I will train once a week with my buddy Matt, that I'm actually ready for it. You know,
right.
By the way, he's strong as hell. I hadn't seen him bench before, and he was doing these crazy benches with these like huge kettlebells hanging down on this big crazy bar, and like instead of like shit. Half the weight, and I was just shaking the whole thing, not going anywhere. And I'm like, okay, I see. And like, I've played with that stuff before. He goes, nothing. And I just felt like I was just having a seizure. Like, it was crazy. And this guy is just, him and his friend are just having millions of kettlebells on there. And they're just red. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go back in the sauna. So
I'm like, I'm going to go relax real quick while you guys finish up over there. Oh, fuck. I can picture that shit. Oh, my goodness.
Crazy strong. Crazy strong. Yeah. You know, they ever put that stuff out. That's freaky strong stuff.
Well, I mean, you have, right, Matt? You have the background in weightlifting. That's how you started, right? Or was it, what was it?
I did powerlifting for a while. And then I got into, like, just training athletes. And then I got into unconventional. I just kind of stuck with unconventional because it's limitless. You kind of only do so much with strength. I mean, again, I have a different perception of what strength and conditioning is now than I did then. Right. Do you know what I mean? I would take one good, really good rep over 10 shitty reps any day now, rather than back then I would take 10 shitty reps over one good rep. You know?
Right.
Because it was power over purpose.
Right. Everything. Got it. Yeah. Now. I want to go over to gym because, again, I spied on you and I went back to this almost boy band picture that you were in there with. And this is when I didn't know. You already explained that, you know, you were doing stuff with Wolf, right? But Wolf was in it. Eric Milan was in it. And I think there was a couple other faces that I recognized. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so freaking cool. Like, you are all just so connected and we don't even know. Right, like, I didn't know that, and I saw that picture. I'm like, wow, and that it was a badass picture, badass boy band picture. But like, you guys were all together, and I was like, dang, this is so cool.
It was actually a really fun trip, all four of us, because we were from Salinas, and San Francisco is like an hour and a half from there.
Yeah.
So we all went up one Saturday. We just went up with the camera, and we took a bunch of pictures everywhere. And so it was a fun little trip that we did.
Yeah. I was like, this is so cool. Like, I don't know. I'm just always so excited to see like people that I've interviewed on the podcast on their own. Just like, oh, there's a picture of all of them together. That's fucking dope. You know?
Feels like such a long time ago. It's crazy.
So I saw
that picture talked about and I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. It's so long ago. It brought back so many good memories. You know, that was a really fun trip that we got to have. Like,
yeah, I think it's
hanging out.
Yeah, and I think it's cool because, like, I mean, we think of obviously Wolf and Eric Milan, like they worked at On It for so long, and they became like these master coaches. So it was really cool to see you there with them. I mean, and to think that you have a background sort of like as big as them. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you're so humble compared to
with John. And John, we lived together. We started in our backyard.
See, that's what I wanted to know. I'm like, how are you guys connected? That's fucking awesome.
Like, we were both coaches at Gold's Gym, and then I left for a year to go fight in Arizona, and he said, when you come back, let's start a company together. So we did.
That's dope, dude. That's real dope. I love that. All right, so, I mean, other than that, did you guys want to talk about anything else? Is there anything you want to tell the listeners?
That this is an awesome podcast and you bring up a lot of really cool people and me for some reason, but there's a lot of dope ass people on this thing, and like, I really appreciate what you're doing on it.
And thank you.
Like I said earlier, if any of our friends and any of the listeners out there that get a chance to come out and work with this guy, hang out with this guy, do a workshop, learn from him, just kick it with him, whatever, do it. This is one of the most fun times I've ever had on one of these kind of trips, like, I guess a work trip, but so it's so cool, man. Like, it's great. I don't know, like, he really surrounds himself with amazing people, and I think that has a part to do with his huge growth too. Not just his movement, not just that, who he's around, who he surrounds himself with, and how great they are, because they all help each other grow. So, like, no, part his awesome community, I think, is also part of the growth you're seeing, because awesome. I feel like an all better person just being here already. So, like, if he has a chance to come out, do it. This guy's awesome. This place is awesome.
Yes.
There's just no denying it.
I haven't even been to his gym or his facility, and I already feel that. Like, Matt's always been so supportive. I'm going to say that again. Like, I mean, not saying anyone else hasn't been supportive. Matt's been there for me from day one, so I can only imagine what it feels like to be there.
I love it, man. This dude's all about it. He's got such a huge heart. And, like, what he puts off online doesn't even actually give off how big of a heart he really has. That's, like, a fraction of it, what you're seeing. Like, good dude, man.
Right on. Matt, you want to say anything? He's all shy over there, turning red.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an honor to hear that. Again, I think that more people should support each other. Unfortunately, a lot of things get in the way, whether it be politics or whatever, but more people should put each other, it's like he said, it's the punk rock lifestyle. I like that he put that way, because if you don't want to be that guy, like I feel like I'm that guy right now, that goes to that show wearing that band tee. You want to be, you know what I mean? You want to be the fan, but wear, support another band kind of thing. Yeah. So
I'm that guy right now too.
Yeah, you know what you're supposed to be. I should be wearing an Internal Roots Movement shirt.
What happened?
You good? You good?
But I like that, again, that more people are, you'd be surprised how many people are actually connected in the industry. So once you do a little bit more digging, you'll find out. So it's good that you put everybody out there, because if people don't know, you know what I mean, now they do, because you have a huge influence on more people than you know. So just honored to be even considered to be on his podcast.
Our podcast.
But it was just a very learning weekend for me. I thought I was, every time I move with someone that knows how to, I just feel like I need to get back after it.
Right. All right. Well, where can people check you out? Where can they find you, Jim? Where can they find you, Matt?
All social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all Jim Romig. And then on Facebook, I also have an Internal Roots Movement page. So if it's just movement, just nerd stuff for that, that's the page you want to go to check all that stuff out. That's all I post on there. And then I have a YouTube channel too that I'll start filming for again that will have, that actually has like full follow along, full coaching, because stuff online I try to do a minute or less to make it fit. So this other stuff, we have time to talk and let things out. So like all the basic stuff.
All right. And by the way, I just want to comment really quick that I like that you're a nerd, but you're not a fucking smart ass, because there are some people that are nerds, but they can be such jerks about it. So you're not a jerk. I love that. Thank God. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm a smart ass. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, Matt, where do they find you?
Basically the same, you know, social media outlet, Facebook and Instagram. I don't have I have a Twitter. I just haven't, I don't know how to use it. But I used to have a YouTube, but I got to get better at that. I'm still learning that. Right now it's just social media, just Facebook and Instagram.
And Instagram, right? All right, cool. I mean, that's where I watch you guys. Actually, I think I think my main platform to watch you guys is Instagram. And that's my main platform too. I mean, just social media wise, like if it's not your platform, then I mean, I love your live videos on Facebook too. They're dope. I'm always spying on you on that. I'm like, oh, he's live.
Well, I kind of like to show people what we're getting into or what we're doing, to kind of give them a little sneak peek, and then maybe they'll get curious, like, oh, I want to find out about that, and they'll come in. I mean, it's, plus I like my people, but I like to encourage people. Yeah, people love
like homies, you know?
Yeah, they really love
it. Do your people ever get nervous? You're like, hey, we're going live. They do?
But half the time I hit the live button and I don't tell them, so that they don't even know. And they're like, oh,
they're all looking at the camera like, are we live?
Sometimes I'll use it. I'll say, oh, it's on. You got to perform. Like, so it can work sometimes.
Right on. All right. Well, guys, thank you again for being on here. I hope, you know, the listeners find it useful. I'm always trying to ask the right questions. And I keep telling people, you know, when I post the guests on there, I'm like, tell me what to ask them. So hopefully if someone's listening, feel free to DM me or message me and let me know what you want me to ask these masters. I mean, they're here for a reason. They're here to share, you know, their knowledge. So if you guys want to just hit me up, please do so. And again, check them out on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And make sure that you support this podcast by purchasing a t-shirt. I just released the Star Wars one. Did you guys see that one?
I saw that.
By Mace Wars.
With Mace Wars, yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping some people rep that one, because I'm a freaking Star Wars geek. But anyways, all right, guys, thank you so much for being here, and may the universe always flow with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, girl.